Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to the April 24th meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuity, and use of areas having special historical, cultural, and aesthetic interests or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is a basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of the property values because of their association with history. The commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, design standards are set forth by the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance and are used by the board to determine compatibility of the proposed changes and new development. Visually from the public right-of-ways, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the local historic and conservation districts. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified in the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in issuing or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be a basis for decisions. Please turn off any and all cell phones. Thank you.
Thank you. This is May Boley. I'd like to make a motion to appoint Virginia Mobley, the chair for today's meeting.
Do I have a second?
Pat Richardson, I second a motion.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Thank you. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month? Were there any noticed by staff?
No, everybody did their posting.
Thank you. The consent agenda. The agenda items that have been found by the preservation officers to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? If there are no objections to remove, I will ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
This is May Boley. I would like to request, is there any way to add a condition to this without moving it to the regular agenda?
It's probably best if we just move it to the regular agenda and then just quickly.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. I'd like to move item number one to the regular agenda, please.
Kirsten Connor, I second.
Patricia Richardson, approved.
Katrina Horning, approved.
May Boley, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
The item number one has been moved to the regular agenda. At this time, can we move the item 13, same thing, to the regular agenda? Do we need to take a vote?
No, that's fine. We'll make a note of that, but thank you for noting that.
Okay. The adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Kirsten Connor, I motion to adopt the agenda.
May Boley, second.
Pat Richardson, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
The agenda is approved as written. The approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. The minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes from the previous meeting? If so, please mention it. If not, I ask for a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Aboli, motion to approve the minutes as written.
Katrina Horning, second.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Aboli, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Items requested to be removed from the agenda, from the final agenda, I see none. There are no items on the continued agenda, so we will move on to the regular agenda. The first item.
Would you like to do the 1130 East 49th Street first, just to?
Yes. The first item on the agenda will be the ADUs in Historic District concerning the address of 1130 East 49th Street, file 24002078-ZBA. Staff comments?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So this was, we recommended this as be on the consent agenda. We have actually issued approval for the proposed demolition. This is a non-contributing accessory structure noted at the address of 1130 East 49th Street. Staff went out to the site a number of times. As you can see in the staff report and the photos that are before you right now, there have been a number of alterations to this structure over the years. So it has lost any architectural integrity. We also did some research in terms of, you know, when it was probably constructed. We weren't able to determine the actual exact date of construction. As you're probably aware, for a lot of our conservation districts, we don't have the way we have for some of the historic districts that you oversee and also for the HDBR, where we have a list of like contributing and non-contributing. Staff has to basically determine whether these accessory structures are contributing or not contributing. And so after looking at all the criteria, we came to the conclusion that it does not meet the criteria for contributing status. We did recommend some conditions. So here was our decision. Three conditions that we propose, I know you have a fourth, ensure that the principal contributing building is not impacted in any way by the proposed demolition, which it will not be. There's access off the lane. Ensure that the new construction is evaluated by the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals, ZBA, and that all necessary permits are received. And then three, documentation of the existing non-contributing accessory structure garage as per the MPC policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition or relocation. As I'm sure you're aware, in conservation districts, the role of the Historic Preservation Commission is to weigh in on the proposed demolition of structures. So we don't, I've got, oddly enough, a number of calls this week about buildings in conservation districts. We have no, we, meaning you all, do not have any review authority over the proposed designs, any changes to buildings within the conservation districts. It's kind of historic preservation light, I guess you would describe it as, which is what these communities predates my time, but I understand that's the focus was to control the demolition of buildings, not necessarily alterations or additions to buildings. This is before you because there is a requirement, and I'm sure some of you were involved in those discussions, where when it has to go to the zoning board, it has to come before you all as well. You may recall John Anagnost from the city was here a few months ago, in which he just, I don't believe Patricia or Katrina was here, but there was a representative from the city here who kind of described what the role of the HPC was in this. So again, you all can't weigh in on what's being built there. It's more just the role weighing in on the proposed demolition. So I hope that makes some sense. It's all a little bit new to us, to be totally candid, so we're trying to.
Are there any questions of the commission, of staff, as to our role in this part of the process?
Kirsten Connor, is it required or is it possible to recommend that any demolition comes through the board rather than be completely staff review?
I can talk with our supervisor, our executive director and CEO, Melanie Wilson, about that. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, the way it's written now, staff makes the determination. If staff determines that it is a contributing building, it comes to you. But if it's a if it's determined it's a non-contributing building, it does not come to the HPC. But that is something I can discuss with Ms. Wilson.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I believe we had a request to move this from the consent agenda to the regular agenda.
We're on the regular agenda.
I know, but would the person who made the request like to make a comment?
I don't really have any questions for staff. I just want to put the fourth condition on this one before we approve it, which would be that to any extent possible, demolition be replaced with efforts to deconstruct and salvage any viable materials in the building.
Would you explain that a little bit
sure.
to our new members since they have not been around for this process?
Sure, that makes sense. It's something that you see quite a lot when a demolition of a historic building, contributing or not, comes through the board. Generally speaking, there will be a condition, and I wish we had the language for what the usual wording is, but it's okay, we can wing it. Just to suggest that if it's possible, rather than demolish and landfill the building, that the applicant seek services to have the building deconstructed and any viable and reusable materials be harvested for reuse. There are, it's a pretty soft requirement at this point. I know that there's intention and effort to try to codify what that can mean. But in the meantime, it feels important to me as a commissioner and member of our community specifically to address any opportunity to introduce the idea of deconstruction and reuse instead of just saying demolition, especially when we're talking about historic fabric, because even when a building is no longer viable or significant, its materials can still have a lot of value for our community and it's better for the environment. Is that helpful? Any questions? You do. Lovely.
Do I have any other discussion on the matter?
This is Pam Everett, and I apologize. I was trying to unmute myself earlier when Ms. Kirsten raised her question. In accordance with the ordinance, the demolitions come to staff versus to the board unless, of course, as the ordinance says, unless there is a finding that the building is contributing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm assuming then that to make sure that we make an effort as a commission that material is repurposed, that we have to be vigilant about approvals for non-contributing structures as well as contributing.
So as Pam was just noting, if someone applies for an application to take down an accessory building or a main building, primary building, in a conservation district, staff reviews that and determines whether it's a contributing structure. If it's determined to be a non-contributing structure, as Pam was just noting, it would not come to you presently unless there was a requirement related to the zoning where it's triggered to come to you. So,
but at the present time, there is no trigger, is there? Unless someone brings it up and requests that it be moved to the regular agenda.
So the only reason that this is coming to you all is because it has to go to the BZA. if they were just proposing to knock this structure down and just have a garden there, that would have been reviewed by staff. We would have determined it was a non-contributing building. They would have gotten their permit. They would have knocked it down. It would have never appeared before this body. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So the ones that go that get to the consent agenda, we need to be vigilant over.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yes. You're talking about, yes, with the staff reviews. Yes.
Right.
So. Yes.
Do I have a motion on this item?
Kirsten Connor, because it was moved to our regular agenda, do we still have to go through the steps, like public comment and?
Yes, I would think so. Yes.
Is there anyone here from the public that would like to make a statement? Hearing none, I will ask
the petitioner. Is the petitioner here?
The petitioner is not here. No.
Right. You got to go ahead and do this,
okay.
Dear.
Right, I'm ready. This is Mae Boley. I'd like to make a motion to approve staff decision with condition 1 through 3 and an additional condition that when possible, the applicant secure deconstruction and salvage services in lieu of conventional demolition.
Katrina Horner, I second the motion.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Thank you. The item passes. Moving on to the regular agenda, the Victorian District, a petition 24001904 COA for 1402 Habersham Street, an addition. Staff, can you give us your information?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain, presenting the request for 1402 Habersham Street. The applicant is requesting approval to construct a kitchen addition to the rear, a raised covered outdoor dining space to the right, and improvements to the existing building, which includes applying a stucco coat to the painted concrete block base, replacing the diner stairs with code compliant ones, relocating a metal awning to the kitchen addition, and inclusion of mechanical screening. Just for a little context, 1402 Habersham Street is a non-contributing resource in the National Register of Victorian Historic District and the local one. The structure is a 1954 prefabricated diner building, not original to the site. It was relocated from Rome, New York by the Savannah College of Art and Design as part of their food service program. So we'll just kind of go through site photos. And this is the existing site plan. The demo plan that shows taking some of the stairs that are going to be replaced. Demolition elevations. And then this will be the proposed site plan. So that's where we're going to see the proposed addition at the rear of the building here, and then this covered patio addition to the side. And just the proposed elevations. And this is a perspective view. So due to the fact that this is a non-contributing structure and also it meets the criteria for additions, even though the addition criteria mostly deals with contributing structures, it's still a subordinate, both are still subordinate to the existing building. So with that, let me just jump up here to the recommendation. Staff recommends to approve the request to install a rear kitchen addition and a covered side patio addition to the non-contributing resource located at 1402 Habersham Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Are there any questions of staff? I have one.
Okay.
Virginia Marwood. And I guess I just was not very observant, but with this new addition, does the entrance that is used to access their parking from Habersham, is it still going to be available?
I believe so. We can confirm with the petitioner, but.
Or maybe. There's... So we're using, well, I know that you. Okay, there's no access still... from Habersham according to this drawing. Okay, that's my only question, except for one other, and it, I'll save it for the petitioner.
Okay, all right. Anyone else?
Is the petitioner present?
Hello, my name is Ann Bauer. I'm representing Lynch Associates Architects. First and foremost, thank you staff for your review of the 1402 Habersham project. We agree with all of the comments that they have submitted and agree that this is in compliance with the visual compatibility standards. I'm going to open it up to the board now for your questions.
Are there any questions?
Pat Richardson, no questions. Mayboli, no questions.
Katrina Hornung, no questions.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
I have one question.
Yes.
You're moving your kitchen to the new addition. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's where, additional kitchen space.
Where are you going to have your unloading zone for your trucks?
So the existing curb cut you see in this site plan along East Anderson Street will remain, even though the city brick pavers will be retrofitted there. So the intention is that if a truck needs to unload, they'll utilize that existing curb cut right here on East Anderson Street, come around this back entrance, and unload there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Hearing none, is there anyone from the public who would like to make a comment? Do we have anyone online? Is there anyone here? Hearing none, I open the item for board discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, board.
Kirsten?
Kirsten Connor, I have no comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
May Boley, I'll just say I think it looks awesome.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Hearing no comment, I will ask for a motion, please.
May Boley, motion to approve. I don't have my script today. Motion to approve 24-001904-COA at 1402 Habersham Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Kirsten Connor, I second.
Patricia?
Pat Richardson, approved. May Boley, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving on to item 5 in the streetcar district, 24001193 COA for Siler. 531 Siler, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you. So as you all recall, you reviewed these two applications at last month's meeting. There's 531 and 533 Siler Avenue. The applicant is here. And we'll be able to walk you through some of the changes that have been made to both of these proposed new construction. As we discussed at last month's meeting, the site in question, interestingly enough, when we did the research, had been the location of a dry cleaning building. So there was a commercial industrial building on this site that has been demolished. And so you've now ended up with a vacant lot. The applicant has subdivided the lots. One of the requests that you all had the last time, was in terms of, I believe the question that was raised primarily related to the context. And so included in the submission package, which you see before you, is a view of where these two houses, 531 and 533, would be located on Siler Avenue. As noted by staff at last month's meeting, there are both one- and two-story buildings along this block. The one that I have my cursor on right here is right here at the corner. That is a contributing two-story building. There are also some non-contributing two-story buildings, but it's really quite a variety. This block, and then if we go to the next view, this is directly across the street at the other corner. That's new construction, so obviously non-contributing. That was approved by this commission, two stories. There are some other, there's another contributing two-story building. So that was specifically one of the requests that you all had for the applicant, that they provide to you all a streetscape drawing that showed what was on, again, how it would fit in with the streetscape where the two houses are going to go, and then across across the street to the north. In terms of the design, there were a number of things that you all had raised. The applicant has adjusted the design for both buildings to have express piers at the front porch in order to not require a special exception. I'm just pulling this up. So I'm just going to run through quickly, and then we can go through all the questions. So as noted, this was reviewed by you all at the March 27th, 2024 meeting. It was continued with the following request from you all. Number one, add the request for a variance recommendation for the minimum building frontage of 70%. The applicant has added the request for a variance recommendation in order to not have to meet the 70% minimum building frontage. And I'm, if it's okay with you guys, I'm just going to run through each one of these and tell you what our recommendations are. Staff is recommending that you all recommend to the BZA that the variance be granted. As noted, one of the challenges here, actually, if I go down to the lots here, you look at the lots, the houses on this block are not particularly super wide. And so in order, it's our view that in order to meet the 70%, you would end up with architectural composition that really doesn't fit in. It's not visually compatible. So we are in support, staff, of the applicant's request that you all recommend to the BZA that they get a variance to not meet that 70%. In addition, your second request to the applicant was to look at potentially adjusting the floor-to-floor heights to have them meet the standards of an express height of 11 feet at the first floor and 9 feet at the second floor, or request a special exception. The applicant has been very good about keeping in touch with staff. They made the decision to retain the design that you saw last month, which proposed an express height at the first floor of 9 feet and 1 inches approximately, and then the second floor, 8 feet, 9 and 3 quarter inches, and is requesting a special exception in order to not meet the standard. Staff is also in support of this request for a special exception. And I'm just going to go here and then go back. This is proposed elevation. Again, if we go back to the streetscape, and I believe it was our acting chair who may have commented on this, one of the challenges with applying a kind of one standard to an entire historic district when there's actually quite a bit of variety within a historic district, it can be a challenge. So the houses on this street are not as tall as you may find in other parts of this historic district. And so having buildings, I'll let the applicant articulate this for his client, but basically it was their view that the proposed height is in keeping with the visual compatibility and the heights of the buildings along this, along Siler Avenue, which staff feels is very supportable in terms of visual compatibility. The third request that you all had was to adjust the proposed treatment of the foundation of the front porch to meet the standard by having the express piers. As noted previously, the applicant has adjusted the plans and there are now express piers. Then the fourth one is another one that staff has been dealing with. You all said to look at potentially adjusting the design of the side west elevation to meet the standard for having transparent features of 30% or request a special exception. The applicant has retained the original design, which I will show you, which proposes a single window on the first floor, and is requesting a special exception. Staff is also in support of the proposed request for a special exception. We did a lot of surveying of both this historic district and other historic districts, and particularly when we're looking at Streetcar and Victorian, there are a lot of houses that, because of the way the lots were set up, where on one side there will be more fenestration, more windows, but then the other one, because of proximity of other buildings, there will be a different treatment of the fenestration. So we thought it was visually compatible and reasonable to not have the same amount of fenestration on both sides, if that makes sense. And I can articulate that probably a little bit better if needed. The fifth request was to provide information on any proposed exterior lighting. We discussed this with the applicant and he can go into it in a moment. But as we understand it, the only proposed exterior lighting at this time, they need to add some in the future. They would have to come back for staff level approval for a COA, would be down lighting, ceiling, recessed ceiling fixtures in the porches. The sixth request, as noted, which we can show you again, was that you be provided with a streetscape image showing how the proposed new construction would relate to the surrounding buildings. As we just showed you all, which is up now, the applicant has done just that. We felt before, and we still feel, staff, that this meets the standards and is visually compatible. Again, this is not a block of uniform bungalows. There are all types of buildings on this block, one and two story contributing and non-contributing. And then the last request you had was for the applicant to potentially restudy the proposed design of the roofs in order to improve visual compatibility. The applicant took a look at that, and I will let the applicant articulate that for themselves. They felt that their original design for the proposed roof for this building and also for 533 were visually compatible. They were based on other designs that have been approved by this commission. Staff originally and continues to feel that the proposed roof forms are visually compatible and in keeping with the character of the historic district. So those were the seven items. So in terms of a staff recommendation for 531 Siler Avenue, we were recommending approval for the new construction, small part one and part two, with the following condition: because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, the applicant should provide information on the proposed location of any meter boxes to see that the standard is met to have them located on a secondary elevation, which I believe will be the case, and recommends that the Historic Preservation Commission recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variance request for the standard that reads minimum building frontage of 70% in order to allow for a lower percentage building frontage, and as well approve special exception request for the lower floor heights at the first and second floors because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And in addition, approve the special exception request for the side west elevation for the reduction in the transparent features because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. So sorry, I know I threw a lot at you guys, but I hope it all made some sense, and here for any questions you have for me, and the applicant is in the audience and can also.
Are there any questions for staff? What is the, I have one. What is the overall, the height of the two-story building next door compared to the height of these?
The building right here, the one on the corner?
The one on the corner.
It's a little bit taller. I you know, we couldn't obviously measure it. But yes, there are.
It is taller than.
Yes, than these two guys. Yeah, it's got the little.
Well, do you know what the height on the single story is?
We didn't measure the other private homes.
But trying to get perspective.
Yes. But this, you will be seeing this without getting into it. You will be seeing this next month. But this was approved by the commission. They're still finishing construction on this. This is a two-story directly across the street on the corner.
Why will we be seeing it next month if they?
I don't want to go into it at the now, but there's some proposed revisions to the design
after the fact.
Yes, exactly. But that's for another meeting.
Are there any questions of staff? Hearing none, is the petitioner present? Please tell us your name.
Good afternoon. Christopher Dean with Residential Concepts Design Group.
Thank you.
We came before the board last month to see about getting these approved, and y'all made recommendations for what we should do to make things more visually compatible. And we feel like we've done that with what we've come back with what we have seen in the neighborhood, what's currently being built in the neighborhood. You've got some non-contributing and some contributing buildings, and even the newer buildings that are non-contributing that are being built, we feel like this is in line with them and visually compatible with all of it. I would like to open the board up for questions to me, please.
Any questions of the petitioner?
This is Bowley. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I see you did revise the designs for the piers.
Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, though, none.
No, ma'am.
Okay. I remember asking for you to consider a little bit more architectural detail. No, we didn't make it a condition, and you've also chosen not to hear any feedback about the roof. Anyway, I just wanted to verify that that was, in fact, the only design change that you did make.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
Katrina Hornung, can you maybe speak to why you did not choose to change the roof? I think it was Board Member Connor had brought up the scale of maybe breaking up that roof. Can you just speak to that decision, please?
Yeah, we feel like if you look at a newer – I want to show this right here. Ooh, I'm sorry, I went the wrong way, didn't I? If you look at the newer construction that's here, which is three lots down from us, it has a fenestration there on the front of a two-story porch, 6 foot deep. It's got a very small false gable on the top that you can – that you really can't see from this photo. And we feel like that on our elevation, one being a two-story front porch is just a hip roof because of it being simplistic. And the other one being a six-foot porch and then set back 6 feet and not a two-story front porch, we feel like that's going to give the character that I think this neighborhood is looking for so that we could get a nice look for this home. The client wouldn't be opposed if you were to tell me that that this project looks great, except you would like me to put a gable roof on the front of this two-story porch, then we'd put a gable roof on the front of that two-story porch. The client wouldn't be proposed to that. I think what the client wouldn't want to do is if you were to tell me, based on what you have here, we would like you to bump something out to have two different depths there for that front elevation. And I think that would then be something that he would have to look at and see whether or not he'd like to do it. I don't think he would. Because what he tried to do, this property initially was three 30-foot wide lots. And when he came thinking about building on the property with 5-foot setbacks, if he builds something that's 20 feet wide, which is about the minimum that he could build there to get a decent-sized single-family home there, he realized he was going to put everyone who buys a piece of property there on the road for parking because he just didn't have any other space. So he said, you know what, I'll take these three lots, combine them into two so that I can definitely have off-street parking. Even our neighbor's house, which is this gentleman here, there's two gentlemen who live here. Even their house, they park on our property. They actually park 4 feet onto our property. They didn't know that until we showed them that they were running over our water meter. And so we knew there's an issue up and down all these roads for parking. So Greg felt like it was better served to combine these lots and just make them two versus having three, reduce the number of properties he could build in the area, but make it more, friendly for people who are going to be buying this, so that he could, you know, have off street parking. But if you're telling me, I'm sorry, I got off there. If you're telling me you would like to see this elevation change to have something different for a roof line, gable roof or anything of the sort, then by all means, the client would be up for that by all means.
Thank you. Yes, it was just that roof, I think, that we talked about breaking up the monotony of that hip roof. But thank you for that explanation.
Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, yeah, thank you for that explanation. I just want to clarify, are you talking about doing a full stretch of a gable roof or still breaking it up by adding a gable roof to the porch?
It would be the full stretch because this porch runs all the way across the front.
Is there a reason
not to do just a little false gable right here on the front?
Or just a shed roof or something. I'm not trying to design or anything.
Yeah.
Just a reason not to break up the roof.
We couldn't do a shed roof. It wouldn't run back into that hip properly, or even if it was a gable, run back into that space properly without raising plate lines and things like that that I don't think the client wants to get into. We could do a gable end on the front there to give us another look, and then obviously put the hardy siding up in that gable end, and then maybe a fault vent or something for architectural visual compatibility. But I think other than that, that would be about all that could be done to this elevation to give it some more character.
And I apologize if you already said this. What about considering like a half hip?
I don't think
still a separate hip.
Yes, I don't think trying to get just a separate roof on this two-story porch altogether, I feel like you would have to, not feel like, I'm almost certain, you would have to raise the plates of both side walls up at least 2.5 or 3 feet to be able to then have a separate, say, shed roof coming off of. And it would really be a shed hip. It would hip on both sides and go back up or whatever, a lower pitch roof. Even to do that, we're going to have to raise all the plates all the way around on the property to achieve that. And I don't feel like the client's going to want to do that especially because of what we see have that has been approved across the street here and then what has been approved down the street here with both of these residences.
Right. And I also just want to make a point. We view these case by case, so we don't
by
really
all means.
Consider
yes. a previous
yeah,
approval.
Yeah.
Well, I totally understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that response.
Much.
I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Anyone else? I just have to make a comment because I live in the general area. The roof line that you are giving us does not really fit what you see. If you look at the not the new construction, but if you look at the old construction, you will see different shapes and angles and porch roofs and such as that fit into the structure. And again, it gives a cap to the project. It's a very nice project, but it's a very generic project. And that is not what this neighborhood is made up of. One of the things that has been talked about is the diversity of styles. And what I don't see is a diversity in your style. I see a copycat.
Certainly, by all means. Now, if you look at the house to the left of this, which is a contributing building, that house has a shed roof on the front porch and a hip roof on the top, just like we're having. The only difference it has is a faux hipped dormer up top that used to be an attic that I think they tried to utilize, but it's not utilized now. So you were just saying about the compatibility of the roofs. I feel like the house next door is a great example of the compatibility of the roofs.
Well, that house is broken up in the fact that it doesn't have a second story window, porch. Even though the addition to the roof is not viable at this time, when it was built, it was viable. As a resident, you can go down any street and look at the roof lines and say, and know when they were constructed.
Okay. How about this house that's directly across the street that's also a hipped structure on top?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a hipped roof.
With a dormer in both cases. So it's punctuating that flat face. You see there's a visual interest element to the front of the roof is the point.
Certainly, mm-hmm. By all means.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to make a comment? Is anyone online? Thank you. Hearing none, I will open it up for board discussion. Kirsten?
Kirsten Connor, I do appreciate the applicant responding to all of our concerns, but I do want to be able to find a way for that roof to be broken up. I think it's something that we see constantly with new builds, and it's not visually compatible to the neighborhoods. And I understand, you know, that it might be a little more complicated than we think, but I think it's important to, even for future designs that look at past projects to resolve this issue.
Katrina Hornung, I would also just like to see some kind of break between the roof on the porch and the main rest of the structure.
Mm-hmm. This is May Bowley. I completely agree. We are lacking a lot of visual interest in these projects, and while they're meeting the standards, and I think we should approve them here today, I do support adding the condition that something about the front of the roof be addressed, especially in lieu of any other architectural interest. We keep looking at these other examples, and there's one other new build that we keep referencing, and it has a very clear effort to mirror some of the architectural flair of the neighborhood, most specifically the columns flare out on the first floor porch, which mirrors the building across the street. Nice touch, an effort to reflect the architectural character of the neighborhood. I look at these designs and I just don't see absolutely anything that does that. So let us potentially put a condition on this approval that says either the addition of a full or partial front gable or a dormer to the front of the roof. I would be willing to even word it as such that the client can propose an alternative solution to addressing that super plain front face of that hip roof. What do y'all think? Yeah.
Patricia?
I agree. Pat Richardson, I agree. And looking at the designs, the roof is the one thing that just totally takes away from the characteristics of the neighborhood and the other houses around it. No matter how old the other houses are, you know, they still have something in common, and it's just a little too plain.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other questions or comments of the petitioner or staff? I have a question of staff. If we have a condition to add to this, does that delay it in going or moving forward for the approval of the variances?
No, I do not believe so. That's a great question.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, I ask for a motion, please.
Okay, I'm going to try. Then you guys are going to do some. Okay, this is May Boley. I make a motion to approve the application for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the property at 530 Siler Avenue, which 531, correct. Which is application 24-001193-COA. With the following condition, number one from staff, and number two, that the applicant return with more visual interest in the front of the roof, such as a front gable or dormer. And that we approve, the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variance for the minimum building frontage, and approve the special exception request for the floor to four heights, and approve the special exception request for the west side elevation for the reduction in transparent features.
Yeah. Kirsten Connor, before we continue, so we don't have to deny and whatever, I just want to make sure, if they still have to come back to the board for just the roof, does that mean we can still approve everything else in this motion?
That's for staff approval.
Yeah,
just that back to staff.
Okay. Well, then
my understanding is May was recommending that staff would work with the applicant. It would not be coming back to you all.
Gotcha. Okay. And then my other just note is to make it clear to the applicant that we're talking about breaking up the two roofs, not doing a different roof style that just comes all the way out.
You mean?
Correct.
You mean addressing the front hip of the primary roof, or did you have a different idea?
I'm just meaning breaking up the porch roof from the main roof, correct? That's what we're talking about?
I'm not sure if that's what we're talking about. Is that what we're talking about? Forgive us. We're going to have to talk.
I think we need to put this back to board discussion, please.
Mm-hmm. I am content. By all means, what do you have in mind?
My understanding with what we discussed, and I'm, you know, still open to everything else, I just, that we're requesting they redesign the roof so the porch roof is broken up somehow from the hipped roof. So whether it's like an additional half hip to go on or whatever, but it's not one full like gable coming across. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
That was going for.
That was my understanding. I just wanted to make sure that it's clear in our recommendation.
I understand.
Okay.
Proposed roof plan is up right now, so this is what's being proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is
separating the porch roof,
separating
from the main roof,
the front porch roof. Correct.
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 Yes.
I mean, would you be fine with a front gable instead of the hip? Or is that a no?
Um, I'm not as for it, but I would say it is more visually compatible. So I think I'll leave that up to you guys.
Is there a way that we can leave the option of design into suggestions, either breaking the porch or just adding to the facade?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you all how you want to word it, but you can direct staff in any manner which you feel is appropriate in terms of meeting the standards. Visual compatibility.
Kirsten Connor, I'm okay with what May was suggesting. I just wanted to make sure it was clear.
That's I agree. I don't
okay
think
with
it was.
Me.
Sorry, May Boyd.
Don't interrupt me, May.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to restate your motion?
I would. And how do y'all feel about me just saying by creating depth and visual interest in the front of the gable through any number of devices such as separating the porch roof from the main roof or adding a dormer? I don't know about a dormer on the porch roof. Huh?
Katrina Horning, I think that would be that would give them some options in their design, and
right.
I would be all right with that.
Right, without dictating very strictly what the final design looks like, just that we want to address that very, very plain front hip.
Patricia, any comment?
Pat Richardson, I agree. As long as we find a way to address that, the plainness of the roof, and to make it look like it could possibly be two different things going on instead of just the one contiguous one.
Mm-hmm. So,
great. I will word that. Thank you. Okay. Forgive us, folks. This is May Boley. I make a motion to approve new construction small parts 1 and 2 for application 24-001193-COA at 531 Siler Avenue with staff condition number 1 and an additional condition that the applicant work with staff to redesign the front hip of the roof to be more visually compatible through devices such as separating the porch roof from the main roof or adding a gable, and approve the variance request for the minimum building frontage, and approve the special exception request for the floor to floor heights, and approve the special exception request for the west elevation transparent features.
Katrina Horning, I second the motion.
Patricia?
Pat Richardson, approve.
Maybelline, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on.
Great. Thank you so much.
To item 6.
Yes, so it's going to sound familiar. This is 533 Siler Avenue, which is the sister, brother, however you want to phrase it, cousin, that's going to be located on the lot directly to the side. Again, we probably don't have to go through each of these, but I'll do it very quickly. This was also heard at the March 27th HPC meeting. You made a number of requests, again, for the variance recommendation for the minimum building frontage of 70%. The special exception related to the proposed height, expressed height of the first floor and second floor. Number 3, the foundation treatment at the front porch in order to meet the standard. The applicant has revised the design in order to have expressed piers. Number 4, requesting a special exception, in this case it's actually the east elevation for this house, to have less than the 30% transparency required in the ordinance. Number 5, again, proposed exterior lighting. Any additional exterior lighting will have to come back and be reviewed by staff, at least on the staff level as of now. All that's being proposed is downlighting in the porches. I'm going to get to this next one in a minute. The applicant did provide a streetscape. Go down. Same thing you just saw. Very nicely provided streetscape image showing the two new houses within their context and then what is located across the street. We thank the applicant for that. We're probably going to have some discussions about this in a minute, given our just what we were talked about. You all did request that the applicant look at the proposed design of the roof in order to have them be more visually compatible. I would like to go back to one thing here. Adjust the proposed private sidewalk connecting to the public sidewalk to meet the standard by having a direct connection or request a special exception. The applicant is for me, and I apologize if I missed that, that the plan does have a direct connection. I may have read the plans wrong, but we think it's important that the house connect directly to the public sidewalk. We do not feel it's visually compatible to have the connection be through a driveway, which is really more staff's view, more of a suburban look, where you do not have public sidewalks connecting houses and people enter houses through their driveways. So that was a reason that we wanted to have that in there. So with that, staff, down here. Is recommending approval as we were just for 531. Sorry, staff reports. Okay, so in terms of the staff recommendation, we are recommending approval for the new construction small part 1 and 2. The property will be located at 533 Siler Avenue with the following condition. Because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, the applicant should provide information on the proposed location of any meter boxes to see that the standard is met to have them located on a secondary elevation. In addition, staff recommends that the Historic Preservation Commission recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variance request for the standard that reads a 70% minimum building frontage requirement in order to allow for a lower percentage building frontage. In addition, approve the special exception request for the lower floor heights at the first and second floors because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. Approve the special exception request for the side east elevation, it should say east, for the reduction in the transparent features because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And deny a special exception request. That was put in here twice, so pay no attention to that. Do you have any questions for staff? So again, maybe it's best if we just have the applicant come up because I know you had some questions. As the applicant just noted, the roof, the treatment of the roof is a little bit different here in terms of that there's only a one-story porch. There's not a two-story porch, as you can see here.
Kirsten Connor, I had a question. I don't remember taking issue with the roof on this house. I was curious if the board remember. We did? Okay.
Yeah, it came up on both. I don't think you all went into quite a deep dive on this, but from my notes, you said we would like the applicant to look at both proposed houses, okay, in terms of the treatment of the roofs to potentially add more, improve the visual compatibility.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Jogging my memory.
Are there any other questions of staff? Hearing none. Would the petitioner like to come forward and make comments? Please identify yourself again for the record.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon. Christopher Dean with Residential Concepts Design Group. To cut to the chase, I think what I would propose to my client is on the front of this residence here where it's all a big hip. Obviously, this house over here that has a false dormer up on its roof up there that's got a hip dormer on it, that's a much wider house. I don't think we could get that look on this residence. But what I could do is I could put a false gable that would cover these two windows, door element, and then this window down below and part of this roof. So we would have a gable area that would be here, and then the rest of this would be hipped. So you would have an area that would stick out in the front there to give you some height. So looking at it from this side view here, you would have that gable that would come up. Actually, let's go to the other side view. You would have this gable that would come up over here and then go back here on this one area there. We would continue the hardy siding up above, obviously, into that gable to give us more definition for that look.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, Patricia, is there?
This is May Boley. Thank you for the proposal.
I think, ma'am,
that heads us off at the pass a little bit, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public or online? Hearing none, I open it up for board discussion.
Kirsten Connor. Thank you to the petitioner for jumping ahead on us. I'm going to reserve my comment right now, but I'm sure I will have another comment. I'm more interested to hear more what Ms. Boley was saying to the petitioner.
Thank you to the petitioner. I do like the fact that as even though these are two buildings owned by being built by the same person, there is some differences between them. And no further comment.
This is May Boley. Yes, I think we are moving toward a little bit of differentiation and variety in these two. I'd be inclined. I like the sound of the petitioner's proposal. Sounds interesting. I'd be inclined to use the same language that we used on the last one to say add visual interest to that front hip and leave it up to staff for review. Sounds like he can do exactly what he just proposed under that condition. Does that sound okay?
Pat Richardson, I appreciate the effort put in coming back up here the second time in giving us ideas and recommendations instead of just saying it can't be done. So thank you for that.
Kirsten, do you have a comment now?
Kirsten Connor, I agree.
Katrina Hornung, I would like to see what staff had mentioned about widening the sidewalk to meet the public right-of-way. It does just seem a little bit odd to have that stop at the driveway. I see. Okay. Thank you.
Just a point of clarification. I think what staff was recommending was, and maybe the applicant, if you want to come up, it's okay. Am I reading this correctly? Just introduce yourself again so we know.
Christopher Dean with Residential Concepts Design Group.
So what staff was recommending was that the walk from the house to the sidewalk not be part of the same paved surface as the driveway.
Can I
see how it looks like it's.
So before we had this come in here and then it just had a, like a little landing right here and then the steps.
Right.
Myself and the applicant took it as just like at this one because it goes to the sidewalk. We wanted to continue it here. Now, let me just say, I'm sorry, Jonathan. Yeah. If we were to separate them somehow with what? A planter that someone's eventually going to run over anyways with their car, let's be honest. What are we going to do to have some sort of separation there? I don't think there's a way to have a separation there that eventually isn't going to be not used, utilized. Someone's going to put pavers in there to make it a flat surface anyways. So I think it would be tough to have some sort of separation between the drive and the sidewalk coming from the stairs going. And that's one of the reasons why we proposed when you come off them steps, you would go to a landing and then connect to the driveway, because then we could run our landscaping over further over to that driveway space.
Katrina Hornung, I'm sorry. I was reading that drawing a little bit wrong. Will there be a control joint at that between the driveway and this there? Okay.
Yeah, there'll be, I'm sorry. There'll be several of them. There's going to be one coming from here, one coming from the steps to here, several going down this space, going back there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Does staff feel that this suburban look was addressed by this change, or?
Staff would still recommend, in terms of visual compatibility, that, and I'm not an expert on how, I defer to you all, you're the ones making the decision here, but that there be some kind of separation between the walk, mm-hmm. right? Historically, when these houses, I mean, obviously all of them were built before people had cars, but you would have a walk that led you to the house, and then you would have a driveway, and they were not part of the same entity, however you want to phrase it. Wow. So we would, I guess it would be staff's position that in terms of the way we read the requirements, that they should be separate, not one wide.
This is May Boley. I tend to agree with you, and I think it could be a simple matter of changing the paving material, where one is a concrete driveway and the other could be some sort of paver, which would create a visual separation.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Kirsten Connor, on one of the most recent new builds, which they've included a picture of, they do have some kind of brick pavers or pavers or something that separate the sidewalk and driveway, even though the sidewalk is actually concrete. And it does make it a lot more visually compatible in my mind. Because when I first watched them do it and they were pouring just the concrete, I was like, And then they put the pavers in and it's definitely more defining that way. So maybe that's something that can be looked at.
Question, Virginia Mobley. We do not have a requirement that says that the sidewalk has to be the same dimensions as the steps, do we?
We do not, no.
So, I mean, if you did nothing but 12, 18 inches in difference, either green space, such as a row of boxwoods, or pavers, as you have suggested, that would make it the walkway was the primary entrance versus the driveway being the primary entrance.
This is May Boley. I think we can maybe get away with some similar language where we're saying that the petitioner needs to visually differentiate the walkway from the driveway and leave it up to staff for review. What do you guys think?
I think if I could just expand a little bit, I think with staff also, I know we are not, we don't control where people park their cars, but one of the concerns would be if it were just one giant, that yes. somebody would end up, if you see where my cursor is, pulling in and parking their car right here.
Yes, exactly.
Which I've seen throughout Savannah.
Yes.
And we don't believe that's visually compatible.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? So may I ask for a motion on this item?
Kirsten Connor May, I think you are more eloquent in your, okay. and you have it all in your head. You're fine. You
this
got
is May Boley. I would like to make a motion to approve the application for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for application 24-00194-COA at 533 Siler Avenue with staff condition number 1 as well as the condition number 2 that the applicant work with staff to improve the visual compatibility of the front hip of the building, and condition number 3 that the applicant work with staff to differentiate the walkway from the steps from the concrete driveway. And approve the variance request for minimum building frontage, and approve the special exception request for floor-to-floor heights, and approve the special exception request for the west elevation transparent features. Yes?
Pat Richardson, second.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Katrina Horung, approve.
Pat Richardson, okay. Approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I need to recuse myself for this next one.
Thank you, ma'am. Petition number 7-24-000-20-20-COA-111 Brady Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, amended. You ready?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know if you wanted me to start. All righty. So 111 Brady Street, the applicant is requesting approval to amend a certificate of appropriateness for a non-contributing demolition in new construction, small parts and two, parts one and two, which was approved last July. I know we discussed this at the last meeting. Actually, it was
several meetings.
Yeah, well, let's go through the project history because I think it will be helpful. This project was heard at the January 24th HPC meeting, where it was continued with the request for the applicant to address the following items. Add the request for a variance recommendation for the 3-foot side yard setback requirement in addition to the requested recommendation for the 20-foot rear yard setback requirement. Details on any proposed gutters and downspouts. Provide clarification on whether or not the new construction is to be of masonry with a true stucco finish. Provide a complete window and door schedule that includes, in addition to the specific products proposed to be used, the mountain details. Provide information on the proposed trim work, the proposed inset treatment of the windows, the proposed percentage of the transparent features, bless you, for the first floor, the rear elevation, information on the proposed drip edge for the metal roof, confirm that no exterior lighting is proposed, and confirm that the existing fencing gate are proposed to be retained and no new fencing is proposed. The applicant returned at the February meeting on February 28th, addressed all of those items, as you probably recall, and we thank the applicant for being so responsive. The item that still came up was the question over the use of true stucco. And as you probably recall, there was quite a discussion the last time this was before you all about the change that had occurred related to the definition of true stucco. And at the end of 2022, the ordinance was changed that the definition of, quote, true stucco is its application on masonry construction. I don't know if Patricia and Katrina know the full history of this project, but in short, or you see my cursor here right now, there is an existing one-story accessory building, but it's attached to the house. The plan originally, as I understand it, which was given approval by this commission last year, was to retain the one-story structure and add a second story on top of it. When they looked at it, the condition of this one-story structure, they discovered that it could not be retained. And so they came back with a new proposal to demolish it and build, in essence, the exact same thing that they got approval for last summer, with a very, very minimal change in the height, just related because it's new construction. In addition, what came up in terms of these setbacks was, as you can see, sorry if I go back here, is that it does not meet the side yard setback with a neighbor to the east. So they would need to have a variance for the 3-foot side yard setback here, as you can see here. Without going too deep into the weeds, this we treated this as an addition. We discussed this with our colleagues here at the MPC. It's going to resemble an accessory structure, but it's not going to be an accessory structure. You may have noticed that when you go through the plans. As we understand it, there's going to be, not that we have control over what people do on the inside of their homes, but there's going to be a dining room on the first floor, and then on the second floor, there's going to be like an office space, which I think floor plans are in here. Maybe not. Yes. Go. So we treated this as an addition in terms of how it was being used. You can see here. So in terms of what staff is recommending, staff recommendation, we are still in full support of the request to demolish the existing non-contributing connected one-story accessory structure and construct a two-story addition at the rear of the property located at 111 Brady Street with the following condition. Because the project otherwise is visually compatible and meets the standards. Have the construction be of masonry in order to allow for the application of stucco and meet the definition of true stucco, or alternatively return with a revised design that would use a compatible material. For the addition, since this is an addition, it could be, you know, hardy plank or some other type of material. In addition, in terms of the proposed zoning variance, a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals that the applicant look at how the design could be modified to meet the standards by pulling it in and not need the request for a variance to not meet the 3-foot side yard setback. Now, if you will indulge me for a moment, I will. I always think it's a little bit easier. Look at our old friend Street View. So just to, because I know we have a couple new members. So this is the house in question. This was frame construction. It's been stuccoed on Brady Street. And as we go around the corner, what's a little bit unusual about these houses on Brady Street, I mean, there are other ones throughout the historic district. So this is the rear of the house. Again, frame construction with stucco. This is the one-story accessory building that's proposed non-contributing. It's proposed to be demolished, and then there will be a two-story addition to resemble an accessory building located right here, which is what we discussed the last few times. So this is really helpful. I would just note that staff has been taking a long and hard look at the existing ordinance, and we anticipate coming back before you all in terms of the definition of true stucco. I don't know how much the chair wants to discuss that right now, but in terms of our research, we feel that true stucco, meaning three-part stucco or two-part stucco, depending how you want to do it, applied over frame construction can work, has been shown to be an acceptable application of the material, both in Savannah, but also we've done quite a bit of research on other cities up and down the Eastern Seaboard, on the Gulf Coast, that do allow stucco, true stucco, applied to frame construction. I obviously was not here for the discussion with the subcommittee where this change was made, but I believe a lot of the concern and part of the reason for the change was there were some examples of new construction where it was frame construction. I believe the chair raised this during the last meeting, that there was an example, I think it's on Bolton Street, where it was frame construction with stucco, and the manner in which it was done, it hasn't, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he basically said it hasn't held up well. And so that was part of the reason to change that. Again, we are not proposing any changes to the ordinance right now, but I just want to provide a little context before I turn it over to the applicant, that staff has been taking a deep dive into this. We do anticipate coming back to you in that our initial take, this is not a formal recommendation, is that frame construction with true stucco can be done correctly. And that in addition, we have some concerns that by mandating the method of construction of the interior of a building, that all of us may have overstepped a bit in terms of, we have jurisdiction over what the outside of the buildings look like, as you all know, not over whether somebody is building something out of steel frame construction and then adding, we review, as you all know, what the materials on the exterior are, like the hardy board, or if it's a historic building, wood siding. We don't regulate what the people are doing on the interior of the building. So I just wanted to provide a little context. In addition, we also feel, even though it does not meet the ordinance, which is why we're not recommending approval of it as is, we can't, the existing house is a frame building that is stuccoed. So having this be frame with stucco, I think that we feel that there's a case to be made there that would be visually compatible. In addition, even though this is going to, kind of read as a accessory building, it is going to be connected directly to the historic building. And so we as a staff in our discussions feel it's understandable why the applicant proposed frame construction. I would also note, just for the record, that we obviously, as we know, we look at each application separately, but in defense of the applicant, as I mentioned, the proposal that was before you over the summer was to keep this floor, the first story, and then add above it, and that was frame construction with stucco. And I believe it was just not caught at the time that didn't actually meet the ordinance. So I think you hopefully can understand why the applicant, I'll let them articulate this, might be a little confused in that they did receive approval for stucco over frame last year. So with that, maybe it'd be better if I turn it over directly to the applicant, or I'm more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I think right now we have to adhere to the ordinance as been approved. And any discussion of changes would only be appropriate if those involved in the original, this ordinance were in on the discussion. And I don't know that there's anybody here at this time.
Correct.
That was. And the staff is also an after the fact of the discussion that took place. So while I appreciate your information and your information about considerations, I don't think it is anything that we can consider at this time.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, and I know our official chair, Mr. Darren, we were talking about having a subcommittee meeting. We didn't have one today, but we think this would be something that we would be bringing to discuss with you all at your when we have our next, probably before the next meeting, having a subcommittee meeting beforehand to discuss a few items, but the stucco would be on that proposed agenda. So we could hear from, because I know the chair, Darren, this was of particular concern to him.
Yes,
if I recall,
part of the original committee.
Yes, exactly. So it's a good point.
Is there any question of staff? Oh, what are your recommendations? Excuse me.
Yes. So, go back here. So, we are recommending the approval to demolish, and with the following condition: have the construction be of masonry in order to allow for the application of stucco meet the definition of true stucco, or alternatively return with a revised design that uses a compatible material. So, we understand why the applicant went with stucco, but we also feel since this is meant to be an accessory structure, at least visually, even though it's an addition, having it be, hardy, we staff feel would be visually compatible. And in addition, that the design be slightly changed in terms of the footprint so that a variance would not be needed for that 3-foot side yard setback. Since they're starting from scratch, it does not seem like a great hardship to pull it in a few feet from the side.
Okay, thank you. Is the petitioner present? Please introduce yourself for the record.
Heather Spector, AD Collaborative. So I want to touch on a few points that Jonathan mentioned with staff. We've been working with staff very closely and appreciate the efforts that you guys have worked with us on. With regards to the addition versus accessory element, we understand that because the existing structure is attached and we are trying to not eliminate or change things that are already on site and because of existing conditions with damage to the existing structure, we were not intending to remove the connection from the main house to the accessory structure. With that, understanding the use that's been provided and presented to you, regardless, as been mentioned before, the building can be used, however, without anyone knowing. The requirement of it being read as an addition to me and the design and to my client negates the use of proposing a use of hardy siding for it to read as an accessory structure, because then we are following two different lines of design. We are following the lines where we have redesigned and proposed to meet the 30% transparency rule on 35th Street. Because we are considered an addition and not an accessory structure. Now, if we're going to go the other way and consider materials so it reads as an accessory structure, then that's another path. That's another design that we originally proposed. So we've done revisions, one, to meet the standards of the addition, to meet those guidelines. Two, we are coming in and proposing stucco because the existing structure is stucco. The existing main house that is currently attached to is stucco over wood frame. Now, the proposed design meets the visual compatibility. We repeatedly state that. Staff repeatedly states visual compatibility. That is what we're meeting. We currently meet the design ordinance with all of the criteria. We've gone through all of the notes that have been brought up. We meet the streetcar historic design criteria. We also are following any of the Secretary of Interior standards for preservation. And we also do meet their guidelines and standards for stucco, the interior, Secretary of Interior standards for stucco, which was historically allowed on buildings to be built over wood frame. There's a different construction between applying masonry, stucco over masonry, and stucco over wood. There's different applications. So what we're asking is for the board to take that into consideration and understand that what we are proposing is constructible and it can hold up and it can be done properly. With any material, not just stucco, with any material, you can have that built and it be improper and it fail. So I was not a part of the previous discussion about stucco and changing that and making it part of being only applied for masonry. I understand that the members that were part of that discussion may not be present today. However, I'm here to state my case. The fact that I don't believe that visual compatibility leans into means and methods of construction. I believe that the HPC and the board is overstepping in what your role is to determine how a building can be built. Architects, engineers, contractors, product manufacturers, we all carry liability on what we specify and what we determine can be built and what we draw and design. That's where the liability stands. So we carry that liability to make sure a product can perform and it is held up. There are also warranties on manufactured products. So all of that, if a product is failing, it should be under warranty and it should be able to be corrected in that instance. I think that what we're looking at is the fact that we are trying to meet a visual compatibility where our design is matching a historic home, and we're trying to continue that through what we're doing for the addition. We're not trying to change it or make it look. Most of the buildings on the street that have hardy siding or that are accessory structures on that street, you can tell there's a disconnect, and it is read as an accessory structure, or they're not attached to the main house. So with this being read as an addition, we find that that also supports our case more to provide this structure with stucco. I understand that the stucco discussion will come later. That's not something that can be decided here or be debated here, and we may not have a resolution immediately, but we do not plan to come back to propose a full two-story masonry structure. The client is also not interested in doing a hardy siding because of the reasons stated before of trying to keep this consistent and cohesive with the main structure, the main residence. I open it to the board.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Kirsten? Okay. Is there anyone from the public who would like to make a comment? Please identify yourself.
I'm Ashley Field. I'm the builder with Allaire Homes. I'm also a licensed contractor here in Georgia and in South Carolina. I wanted it noted for the record about the stucco over masonry. I know it's not something that can be decided by the board. Totally understand. But as the general contractor, if the stucco fails, it's on me. But if you're telling me how to build structurally, understand that my comments to Bates Lovett, the attorney for the city, is the liability becomes yours. If you're going to tell me how to structurally build beyond code that we're dictated to from the state of Georgia, then I have to ask, if your purview becomes internal to structure, what else can you have oversight on that is not, has nothing to do with visual compatibility? And that's been my fear about how this has played out. I am working also with these homeowners. They're trying to do the absolute right thing. They are trying to make everything visually compatible to the neighborhood. They're only trying to improve. They want to live here full time. So they want to integrate into the neighborhood and not cause any conflict. And I understand I've done nothing but renovation in the historic district of Savannah for a long time, and I am all about it. May Boley cannot even sit on this because she's contracted to do the teardown and recycle all of the historic beams and everything in the house. We are doing everything we can on this project to move it forward. We continue to have to come back, and I want you guys to understand this has been ongoing. These owners really just want to build this project. And what makes it worse is when I talk to her on the phone and you look at the house next door, they're dealing with plumbing opened in the walls, pouring into between the houses, rats coming in from that house next door. And these poor people just want to do the right thing. And I understand you cannot do anything about the stucco, but you need to consider that it's my liability, my license that it rides on if it fails, not yours. And if it's misapplied, it will fail. But I also lived in Florida and built in the period of when stucco was failing in Florida. It has completely changed the game. Stucco is not like it used to be because they had so many lawsuits down in Florida. And I also have done many a traditional stucco in downtown, and we've never had any issues. It's just a matter of the right contractor, applications being correct. Understand that it's still warrantied. I'm still on the hook for it, not you guys. So I have questioned this ordinance from the beginning, which is why I've called Bates Lovett to ask him if the ordinance could even stand to dictate this, because it seems to me that it puts the liability back on the city of Savannah to dictate.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff or for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor, I think I'll have questions for staff after we have a board discussion, but at this time, I don't.
Okay. Is there anyone online who would like to make a comment? Hearing none, we will open it up for board discussion.
Kirsten Connor. This seems like a very sticky situation. In a bit of defense, I do think, the true stucco, and I was not a part of the stucco discussion, so I don't really have any knowledge of why or how it came to this, but I think the application of what is considered true stucco here is including what is behind it. So I don't, and obviously, I mean, I can't speak to liability or anything, but I don't know how to conclude that sentence, but
I think we are held to the ordinance as is written now. And if we have to, from going forward and from what we have decisions we have made in the past that have been based on the ordinance as written, we have to adhere to that.
Kirsten Connor, question for staff. If it were to be decided to let them do stucco over wood frame, would that have to be a variance or a special exception?
It would be a special exception.
Yeah.
So okay. you have the authority, mm-hmm, if you feel in this case, because the main house is a frame structure with stucco,
right,
and this is an addition, if you feel in this case that it's appropriate and visually compatible to have this be stucco over frame, you can grant a special exception. That's within your authority.
Right, but they would have to come back for that. For a special exception.
Yes, they would. But you could articulate whether you're open to that. I know we're missing quite a few members of the board.
Katrina Hornung, I was not part of the true stucco discussion, but it does feel as though this is a means and methods, and I would be amenable to a special exception for this project.
Pat Richardson, I'm leaning more towards, following the ordinance, because I mean, I understand about the liability and all these other things, but I'm just leaning towards following the ordinance. Got to have ground rules somewhere.
If we vote as the staff recommendation is written, does that preclude them from coming back with a special exception?
No, it does not.
So they still, even if we accept staff recommendation, they have the ability to come back and ask for a special exception.
Kirsten Connor, I also don't want to, is there a way for us to have a discussion before our next meeting? I don't want them to have to apply for a special exception, pay for it, and then be back and it gets denied.
Yes, I think our goal is to have a subcommittee meeting before it would be the day of the meeting.
They would still have to come for a special exception because it is as written in the city ordinance.
Right. Correct. I don't want them to go through that if it would get denied immediately by us. So is there a way to have that subcommittee meeting prior to the deadline that they would have to submit that?
I mean, depending how much time they have, yes, obviously for future meetings, not for next month. Mm-hmm. But we can have some internal discussions about how we could handle that, because we do feel, again, without going too much into the weeds, that the stucco question is a bigger one. Just so you all know, we meet with architects, you know, daily on a number of projects, proposed projects, projects that have been submitted, projects that are being amended. And we always ask them for their input on anything that, you know, they might have concerns about, just so that we can bring them to your attention. And I think my colleagues would agree that what has struck us over the last few months with this issue is that we've heard from over a dozen architects who practice in Savannah and do a lot of projects, and they all feel that the ordinance as currently written, I'm paraphrasing here, doesn't really make any sense. And that as the applicants were noting, that if done correctly over frame construction, it can work. And so they were all urging us to revisit the ordinance. And we have had some preliminary discussions with the city about this, nothing formal, because we don't want to take any action. Again, as Virginia noted, we want to come back to you all, some of you and all of you, but also the people who had been involved with the subcommittee, to get a better understanding of what those concerns were that drove this change. Because again, we don't have as much of the institutional memory about, you know, why this was a change.
And the process is not something just us agreeing that we want to change the ordinance. It has to go through the legal process of city council, which at a very minimum would take 45 to 60 days once a proposal is put before them.
Right. I just want us to be very clear in communication with the applicant that if we do recommend they come back with a special exception, that they're not wasting their time or spending more money. Because I believe there is another fee with that, correct?
Yes, there are no fees for variances,
but for a special exception.
But there are for special exceptions.
So I just think it, I don't know how it would work exactly. I just think we need to communicate meet.
Yeah. I didn't interrupt you, but I think it would be helpful once we have the subcommittee meet and we talk with the full commission that we can be able to convey mm-hmm. to the applicant where the commission is right now on this issue. Because yes, we wouldn't want them to have to spend $1,000 just to come back and be told no.
Should we, under that, would you recommend a continuance of this until the subcommittee can be informed of the issue?
Yes, I mean, a continuance, I think, would be fine if until we try to get this sorted out. I mean, we weren't recommending denial, but just introduce yourself again.
Ashley Field, the Lair Homes builder. I know that working with this client, we've been at this for quite a while. And I know they're very frustrated, and I'm really afraid they're going to pull off of this project and be done with it, which is a real shame, because when I got under the structure, there are rotten ledger boards. There are some definite piers that are lacking. They don't have enough structure. The structure is going to start to fail. So I'm just concerned. I don't want them to back as someone that is big in historic preservation. I don't want them to back out of this system and say, forget it, we're done. Because last time I talked to her, she was getting really fed up with this whole thing because it has been ongoing and ongoing. And it's the stucco issue, which respectively, I understand you guys have no control over and we're not part of, but understand from the client's perspective how long this has been ongoing, and we're continuing. And continuing.
We understand your delays, but we again are held to the ordinance. So we have to follow what the ordinance says at this moment. What we are offering you is the opportunity to continue this for us to have those involved in writing the ordinance to hear your complaint and to reconsider it. And if noted, if needed, propose the change to the city council. It's a multi-stepped operation. Yes, it does take time, but that is the only way. I mean, if you want to say no to true stucco, then as the ordinance is written, then we are in a position where we have to deny your application. If we continue it, you have the opportunity for us to reconsider it.
Kirsten Connor, I have a question for Jonathan. If we approve it the way you all have written it, does that give them any issue to come back with a special exception, or do we have to continue it?
No. I mean, staff, as you can see before you, is recommending approval.
Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't have any trouble having to, like, reapply with a COA or anything. They would just come back with a special exception.
In my research of Georgia law, they can submit an application. I mean, we have deadlines that they have to meet, obviously,
right.
But they can submit an application whenever there's no rules that say you can't submit one. So, yes.
So we couldn't approve this as staff has recommended, have our meeting, sort this issue out, relay this, whatever we've decided or discussed, to the applicant, and then they can come back with a special exception if necessary.
That is their option. You had brought up the fee associated with the special exception. A continuation eliminates that fee.
No, it doesn't.
No, they still have
a continuation eliminate a fee for them to come back and have their argument reheard?
Well, they wouldn't pay a fee, but if they were requesting a special exception, there's a fee for that.
No matter what.
Separate.
But there's not one if it's continued and we come back.
They wouldn't have to file a new fee for a COA, which is, you know, a small number, but they still would have to pay that fee for the special exception. Now, I don't want to speak for the applicant. They may prefer, and I understand the concern that the client may walk, they may prefer to wait until the ordinance is potentially changed, which would then allow for stucco over frame, where you would not need to request a special exception.
Kirsten Connor.
So there'd be no fee.
Can I speak to the applicant? Or, both of you.
Okay.
So I guess I want to ask then, and Jonathan, correct me if my process and my brain is wrong, what you would prefer we do. We could approve this, and then you would still have to come back with a special exception, but we would communicate to you, or the staff would communicate to you, what our discussion is on the true stucco with the subcommittee, or it be continued and eventually you come back with a special exception. But if this is approved right now, that does mean they can start work, correct, Jonathan? After they get permits, of course.
Right. So if you don't have to agree with our recommendation, you can change it, obviously, or add conditions, remove conditions. That's within your purview. But the staff recommendation, they could, if it met the condition that we have there, yes, they would then apply to the city for building permit.
Right, but it would allow them to get started. They would have to still follow that number one condition.
Correct. Yes.
But they could come back with the special exception and.
Yes. Just the way we often, I'm sure you've seen in your time here, there are amendments to COAs.
Right.
They're after the fact amendments often to COAs, where people maybe have done work.
Thank you. Yeah.
That, but yes.
Okay.
So. I don't mean to throw a cog in this, but I do have questions.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You guys are familiar with the ordinance, and maybe you can answer, because I had a hard time defining this myself. So the first part talks about foundation, and that is required masonry foundation with stuff if you're going to use stucco. But then if you scroll down to exterior walls, it requires wood or metal framing, or it's a whole different thing. So if you have your foundation wall, which ours would be concrete with stucco, so we'd have our foundation, and then above that would be framing, which would apply to the exterior walls, which are in the ordinance. I can, you can go through, but that's what I don't understand.
No, no. Well, we acknowledge, and I think it's a discussion for the subcommittee, that the existing ordinance, the way it's written, is perhaps not that clear, but I did talk about it with all the parties here, and their interpretation was the definition of true stucco applies whenever you're talking about stucco. So I understand what you're saying, that it's only specifically called out related to foundation,
right?
But that true stucco definition is applicable for everything, wherever.
That's implied, but it's not written in the ordinance. If you followed the ordinance, you'd have to say it's only implied. Masonry behind the exterior wall.
Right, which is why we need to have a subcommittee meeting to look at the entire way this is discussed, as Heather and I have discussed, that the wording needs to be clear. It's very easy to miss it. I think what the applicant is saying is that presently, if you go into the ordinance, you only see it if you look at the foundation section and you click. And there's a thing that says true stucco, and you click on that, and then that pulls up the ordinance that was passed at the end of 2022. So if you were, let's just say, hypothetically not doing a foundation and you were just looking at the exterior wall, you might not make that connection to this definition of true stucco. So we acknowledge that.
So, Pat Richardson, I got a question for Jonathan.
Yes.
I want to make sure I'm getting clear on everything.
Yes, of course.
If it is approved today, with the special exception, and the subcommittee meets and it is not favorable for the applicant, what happens then?
So the special, if you all feel today.
This is Pam Everett. They can appeal it. They do have, there's another step. They can appeal it.
Thank you.
You do have the authority today, and I'm not saying that this is our recommendation, to grant them a special exception to allow for true stucco over frame construction. You can change the staff recommendation, and then they would have their approval and they could build it as they want. And then, you know, the subcommittee could meet separately and might change the ordinance, might not change the ordinance. That, you know, so.
Kirsten Connor. I thought they had to come back for a special exception. Do they have to still come back, or can that be done today?
I believe they technically have to apply for it, but I think you could, Pam?
I'm looking at the ordinance right now because I thought.
Sorry, no, thank you. I appreciate it.
Application. So I'm looking to see if there's anything in the ordinance that would allow them to not have to apply.
Or could the commission today give them a special exception or recommend a special exception as part of the approval?
That's what I'm
and
looking at.
Maybe they would apply and it would be on the consent agenda at a future meeting.
I'm sorry, the code is working very slowly today. They would have to do an application. The way the ordinance reads, they'd have to do an application. And there has to be public notice and all that kind of thing.
So the commission couldn't grant one that they haven't applied for? Is that my interpretation of what you're saying?
They cannot.
Okay. So you can't grant a special exception unless they've applied for it. Legally. Pam.
Right, they can't because it has they have to go through the entire process of there's a special exception and it has to be noticed. So it says there's a whole process. So no, we can't do it here today.
Kirsten Connor, so can we have input from the applicant on what, I mean, obviously we cannot today approve the stucco over frame, but we do want to resolve this issue. What would you prefer us to approve staff recommendations and then you just come back with an amendment and a special exception? Or do you want to continue this and come back with a special exception?
Heather Swagner, AD Collaborative. At this point, I don't really know if there's a difference between either as far as timing. It's going to be about the same amount of time. If you approve it as staff's recommendation, like we're not going to build it that way. So, but the benefit would be we could knock down the building and start building foundations. But the issue is we know we're not going to build it with hardy siding. So it becomes back to, we may just have a foundation built for a building that we may not get approved, in the future. So that's where we're kind of stuck that we understand that.
I have a quick question. You think you'll have the demolition and foundation in 45 days?
We'd still have to, it would probably take, I think city is taking about a week, a month right now for review at minimum. So.
We'll have to go to the zoning board of appeals as well.
Yes, we also have to go through zoning. Yes.
So that would at least let you start that. But I guess.
Here's the thing is if we don't get this, an alternate is for us to rebuild the structure from the inside.
Okay.
And not tear it down.
Gotcha.
And we keep it as a one story and make it to where the client can still use it for something. That's also an option. So it's just kind of we're sitting here debating all of these things with demolishing something that we may not be able to build when we can keep an existing structure and modify it and rebuild the structure on the inside without destroying the existing stucco. Have a structure.
So it sounds like you would probably then prefer us to continue
I think so.
Okay.
I think my preference, unless you want to go ahead and tear down the building.
I don't want to tear the building down because I don't want to run the risk that the client chooses not to build it on masonry if that's the way this flows. I don't think that's fair to them.
I don't either. I disagree with us being it.
Because it's extremely expensive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just wanted to get your input on what you would like to see. Because unfortunately, we're kind of limited on what we can do today. Thank you, guys.
So is there any further board discussion or questions of staff? Hearing none, I ask for a motion.
Kirsten Connor, I motion to continue the petition file number 24000020-COA I need the address. 111
Brady
Street.
Katrina Hornung, I second the motion. Pat Richardson, approve.
Do you want to put it continue for a time?
Continue for 60 days at most?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, approve. Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Motion passes to continue item 7 for 60 days or sooner if the issue is resolved. Moving on to a petition 23006356 COA for 509 East 33rd Street. The addition after the fact, demolition and a variance.
I want to wait for me to come back real quick. Okay, so the applicant is requesting to construct a rear addition, make some minor alterations to the main home, and they're also requesting a recommendation for approval for a variance from the minimum lot area and the lot minimum lot width. With regards to the variance, the property as is currently doesn't meet the minimum required lot width or lot area. This issue was not something that the applicant caused themselves, so they didn't subdivide or sell a portion of the lot to cause this issue. There are also multiple other properties on this block that have the same condition. So staff finds that the property meets all the requirements for the variance in this case. Again, the proposing to construct a rear addition at this property. As is, the addition meets all the base zoning requirements. We're going to kind of break this project in two parts. First, we're going to talk about the main house and then the addition itself. So with the primary structure on the plans provided to staff, the applicant indicated that the homes will be jacked up and leveled and all damaged piers will be replaced. During an on-site meeting, the applicants indicated that the foundation on the main house will not be touched. So we just need the plans to indicate what exactly is happening. If it's not going to be touched, that needs to be noted. If repairs need to be done, that needs to be noted as well. With regards to the exterior trim on the main house, the applicant is proposing to remove what's currently there and to replace it with wood siding. Staff finds that that meets the standards. We just need to know what type of wood they're proposing. They do have a note that hardy plank will be used on the soffits and trim on the main house. For the addition, that's fine, but for the main house, it does need to be wood. The applicant does propose to re-roof the main structure. Staff finds that does meet the standards. As of right now, there's no proposed work on the front door, windows, and porch. If in the future such work needs to take place, staff needs to be made aware prior to work taking place. With regards to the addition, as you can see, it's in the rear of the home and it's inset from the primary roof and walls. Staff finds it to be appropriate. This will require demolition of an existing one-story rear portion of the home. Demolition has already begun without a COA approval. Staff finds in this case a demolition does meet the standards because the element is on the rear of the home and it's not a character-defining structure. Overall, the project does meet the standards, but there are a couple of things that staff needs to be clarified. One is with the eaves and soffits. Vinyl optional is listed in the notes. Vinyl is not an appropriate material, so we need official confirmation that hardy siding is going to be used. With the foundation, either stucco or a pers coat should be applied to the piers or another material should be used to meet the standards. There will be a fence surrounding some mechanical equipment in the rear. Overall, it's fine. We just need to know the final design. And the final thing is with the window transparency. According to the applicant, it's at 33%. For this case, staff is only looking at the addition for the transparency standard. Since the house is already existing and historic, if that is done this way, this elevation has no windows on the first floor, so the 30% would not be met. So we would need some windows on that elevation. Of course, the board can interpret it as 30% for the entire first floor, primary structure, and rear, or just look at the rear. So with that, staff does recommend approval of this project with the conditions listed on the screen because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And we're also recommending a variance recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the standards for the lot area and the width. The applicants are here if you have any questions for them, but give me questions for me right now.
Stan Perkins, designer, Stan Smart, owner. So first off, Madam Chair, the board, everyone, we just want to thank the staff, Kelly and Jonathan and Caitlin. They were just been great. I'm sure there's been many, many days Kelly probably went home scratching her head about us, and we went home scratching our head about ourselves also. But to make it short and simple, we're going to comply with everything. We'll do the fencing. We're going to make sure that the windows are at 30%. I think as long as the soffit, if the hardy planks, if that's okay for the soffit, we'll do that as well, if that's okay. And then, of course, we're going to replace all the vinyl that's on the building now with the hardy, with the wood siding, of course. It's going to be that lap wood siding, so it'll look really nice. The piers on the rear, we're going to be doing those new piers. I think the other piers have already been done, correct? Yeah, when he purchased the place, it already been jacked up and leveled on the primary portion of the house. So if you have any questions for us, feel free to ask, but we're going to comply with everything.
Hearing none, is there anyone from the public who would like to make a comment?
Hello, everybody. Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC had a couple issues with this petition. We were worried about the accuracy of the drawings and some of the lack of information that's been noted in the staff recommendation. We were worried that the proposed addition, the proposed addition represents a false sense of history being altered as it's being proposed to be altered. If it is to remain two-story, we would advocate for it to be constructed within the original footprint and have different detailing than the detailing that's on the main house. And that's all I have.
These were the plans that were provided to staff. Proposed, but there was no proposed porch on the.
So, as I know, we thank the applicants for being here. So there's a front porch. Maybe if we can bear with me. To go to our old friend, should we have the time? 509 East 33rd Street. So this is the existing structure here in yellow. There's a covered front porch. And I don't know if we can get a very good, but you can see here what had been there. There was a small addition on the back of the house. It's no longer there now. It's going in the back. So if we go back to so what they're proposing is a rear addition. So here's 33rd Street, right? Here's the front walk. Here's the house. So when you're looking straight on, you won't see the addition, obviously. It's going behind it to the rear. Does that make sense? Proposing an addition on the back of the house. Like so. Does that make sense? So they're...
Virginia, please make sure...
Yeah,
Virginia, please make sure you turn your microphone on, please, so that all can hear you.
Yeah, yes.
I believe I'll turn it over to Ellie. Is there talking about what was there that's no longer there now? It's gone.
It's completely gone in its entirety, because that's not the way that it seems. And so, okay, Ellie Isaacs again with Historic Savannah Foundation. So as you, so this is the stuff that was provided by staff, the research, right? It appears that this is here. Is it gone or is it here?
This is here.
Okay, so here, so you can see the rear addition as it once was, okay? And then if you look at the Sanborn maps, as far back as 1916, this addition is here. It's one story, okay? And it's inset. If you go to what is currently being proposed, 2 seconds. If you go to what's being proposed, see how it's inset more here, right? And then if you go to what's being proposed, this, it takes up much more square footage. It's still inset, but it's not inset to the same footprint that is currently there for the historic addition. So that's our concern, is if the addition's going to be, if there's going to be an addition reconstructed on the back, it should match that original footprint that was originally there, in our opinion.
But the original footprint that was there was not two stories.
Exactly.
So you're saying you don't want them to have two stories?
Our committee said that if it is to remain two stories, that we would prefer it to be in its original footprint and have different detailing around the windows, different siding detail. There's different ways to differentiate to show the fact that it is a new addition, that it's two story.
Katrina Hornung, can you tell me the approximate width that?
I don't know that.
Okay.
Off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Can you go back to the photographs?
Sorry, I'm taking over your job right now.
No. Not the Sanborn maps.
Oh,
the photographs.
Yeah, so as noted, the applicant very nicely met with us out at the site. So, I mean, it gets into a definition of is it still there or is it not there. It's not, I mean, my opinion, it's not there. It's been heavily damaged. In addition, you will note here, although we do have the Sanborn maps, there have been a series of alterations here. This wall, which you see right here, is of a more recent vintage. And then you had this addition here that was inset quite a bit. So the applicant is not proposing, and we don't think there's any requirement that they rebuild exactly what was there that is now gone. We are applying the standards in the ordinance, as Kelly noted, for a visually compatible rear addition. The applicant is proposing it to be two stories. There are a number of two-story rear additions in this area, and so that's why we were making the recommendation that we were showing you all. Does that make sense?
Richardson, I noticed that on these diagrams, the pictures that you're showing us, there must have been some construction work that was done that's not being shown on the Sanborn maps. So,
yes, there's been, I mean, when we went out there again, the applicant was great, allowed us to walk through the house. In the front portion of the house, there are actually a few details left in this portion here. But again, this back portion has, in our view, staff's view, seen numerous alterations over the years. There's, you can see here, concrete piers that were added. This wall, I don't know when it dates from, but it's late, it's of a more recent vintage than this porch area here. And then there are kind of like two or three different roof shapes there, but it's all gone in the sense that it's not salvageable. We wouldn't encourage the applicant to try to salvage what is there now. And again, you know, Kelly and all of us spent a lot of time on this, met with the applicant. We don't think there's a requirement that you have to rebuild exactly what was there before. We're just looking to see if what's being proposed meets the standards. So I hope that's clear.
Yes, thank you. This is Mae Boley. And you did say that the original house will retain its wood siding and be repaired with wood siding, but that the new addition is proposed to be hardy plank?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, and the applicant was very agreeable to, I believe they did some selective on the original house, and they found that there's some wood siding underneath there. So. Okay, so they actually would prefer?
Yeah, so the hardy, it's going to be hardy soffit on the main house and on the addition, wood siding on the house and the addition.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have a question for staff? Hearing none, does anyone have questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, is there anyone online from the public? So I will open it up for board discussion.
Kirsten Connor. I am okay with all of this, but I don't know if we maybe want to make a recommendation to differentiate the addition by maybe like a different width siding or something like that. I mean, going back with wood is great. Wood is way better than other options, but maybe a different profile or something like that, just to further differentiate it from the original structure. And also, I do want to point out it is inset a little bit, so that also helps differentiate it. That's it for my comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Mae Boley, I agree. I'd love to see some indication that it's not original to the house. I mean, we love the quality of the work. We like it to be good. But yes, a little bit of something, a different profile in the siding would be great. Otherwise, looks good.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, would the applicant be amenable to that recommendation?
Yes, we're going to comply. Hardy plank. Hardy plank's fine.
Thank you. No further comment.
Okay. Do I hear no other comments from the commission? Do I hear a motion?
Kirsten Connor, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 509 East 33rd Street, number 23006356 COA, with conditions provided by staff, including one additional condition to recommend the addition's siding be of different width or profile to differentiate it from the original structure, and approve a variance recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard.
Pat Richardson, second. Pat Richardson, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you.
It's been a long
Okay, moving on with the agenda. The items that have been approved by staff, has the board reviewed them, and do they have any questions? If not, I have asked for a motion to simply acknowledge the staff review.
No. Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we acknowledge and accept staff review for the approved, what are they called? Staff reviews.
From the agenda.
May Bowley second.
That's all we need. We don't need to take a vote. Notice of proclamations. Do we have any that need to be discussed with the staff? Is there any other business?
Just before she stepped out. So today is an administrative assistant acknowledgement day. Of course, I don't know. Well, I'm going to give a really nice speech. Bree, where are you? Well, as you probably all know,
get back in here.
Just when I'm talking about you, you disappear. Okay. So today is Administrative Assistant Acknowledgement Day, Appreciation Day. So there's a lot of work that goes into your commission, HDBR, all the other things we do. And I know I've probably said it before, but we really mean it. None of this would work if Bree wasn't the one dealing with occasionally irate applicants and folks missing deadlines. And she's the one who makes sure that people post the placards and does, you know, just all the stuff that makes this actually work. So we would like to say thank you to Bree, who does it with a smile, which is not always easy. But we really appreciate all your work.
She also keeps us in line.
And reminds us about our parking vouchers.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Hearing none, pardon?
Kirsten Connor, do you send out the email for the subcommittee or what happens with that? Okay, because May was not.
Oh, yeah, May, you weren't, that's, thank you for bringing up. So yep. I know you were not here during the discussion of a 111 Brady Street.
Okay.
So the stucco question would like, is something that we would, I think everyone would like to discuss.
The stucco question. Got it.
Potentially looking at revisiting,
yes, the language.
The definition.
So okay. The subcommittee meets the same day of meeting?
Yes, I have to actually do what Bree prompted me to do, which is send my email to get it set up. I apologize, guys. I proposed we do it last month, and then I dropped the ball. So before the next meeting today, I will send that out, and we will try to revive the subcommittee. I know you're on.
Is there a full committee?
Yes, we voted them in last month.
Last month?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think Kathy as well.
Yes, but thank you for asking, Patricia.
But I will make sure to add that.
May I make a suggestion that you may bring in the preceding members that were in on the ordinance?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there was a long, hard discussion about it. There was also a lot of vetting that went on with the city attorneys and such.
Yes, and I think that predates all of us.
Yes. Yep. So you may, I mean, Darren is probably the only one left.
Yeah. Okay. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And May, this is super important for the applicant that you had to step out on. So we want to try and.
Is she held up by this conversation?
Yes. And obviously, I mean, there's a lot of hoops to jump through, but we want to be able to communicate to the staff and her, like, what we might consider if she comes back with a special exception.
Okay.
So we have to do it next meeting.
Okay.
To discuss this.
Copy that. So here's the thing. There's no way we're going to come to a decision about revised language before the next commission
right.
meeting.
No, it's more so in order for them to come back with a special exception, we're not going to automatically deny it.
Okay.
I think we need to be, a lot of us need to be clear on what was the point of the true stucco ordinance.
Copy that.
So we can make a decision on whether or not we would approve a special exception for them.
Understood.
And we're.
No, that's up to Virginia.
What? That we will bring it, have it.
Oh, no. Ellie was asking to speak and I said it's up to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Make it brief, please.
Yes, absolutely. So the thing that I was going to say is, so I was on HDBR for many years and we ran into the same issue. What we ended up doing was when it came to us, you know, it was approved typically, even though it went against the ordinance and against staff recommendation in specific instances. So in instances that we saw, it was for using stucco typically on like a roof addition, because if you can't do stucco over masonry on a roof addition, the weight is too much. So I think it just depends, obviously, circumstantially, but just know that there have been situations where HDBR approved using stucco over frame. So that has been done before. That's all I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Copy that. Thank you.
Anything else? May I have a motion to adjourn?
Katrina Hornung, I make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, ma'am. Our next meeting is May 22nd. With a pre-meeting at 1:30, the full meeting at 2:00.